Do you know that song? Okay, Fifi, now let's begin together.
Praise the Lord.
I worship your holy name. Hallelujah. So this is a very, very great time to be here with you this evening. And I'd like to praise the Lord. This song is a very good song that speaks to me. Because I spent many, many years without smiling, without talking to people, without joy, without praising the Lord, because of the family I was coming from. I became a Christian when I was in the bus and I was going to join the army. They had overthrown Idi Amin, and Idi Amin had run away with his soldiers. So the government was looking for soldiers to join the army of Uganda. And I was a gang leader at that time in a high school. And we decided to join the army. Majorly, we wanted to get a gun like Idi Amin soldiers and go and revenge on our enemies. I had a hit list of 19 men I wanted to kill. I had my father who was on top. I wanted to kill him because he abandoned us when we were small children. 9 children and our mother, without a house, without land, without property, and he left us on the roadside. And we never saw him until 22 years later. So I wanted to blow him up. As Connie was saying, my mother also produced many girls, and when I was going to be born, my father thought I was a girl, and he kicked my mother's stomach several times so that she could have a miscarriage. My mother told us that she lost blood 9 times. She thought that this child is dead. But you see, I stayed there. I got stuck there because God knew I was going to be a man of destiny. Because the devil always fights men and women of destiny, even before they are born. The devil knew I was going to give him a nervous breakdown. And that's why he wanted to kill me before I was even born. But the Bible says, I knew you before you were born, and I called you. So he fought my battles before I was born. Give him a big clap. He's a fighter. He fought my battles before I was born, before I even came here. And my children always tease me. They say, they said, Daddy, which hospital were you born in? I always tell them, Banana Hospital, because I was born in a banana plantation, not in a hospital like you, not in a home, no visitors, no flowers, nothing. But you see, I am here because of Jesus Christ. So I wanted to kill my father. I wanted to kill his wives who made our lives miserable, who stole our father from us, who took our property and belongings. But I also wanted to kill men who raped my sisters. When our father abandoned us, 6 of my sisters were raped. Some of them were gang raped. Others were made pregnant and wanted marriage pregnancies. And I was a small boy. We couldn't help them because we were young. And we felt ashamed, we felt embarrassed, and these rapists were enjoying themselves. So I wanted to blow them up as well. I also had, when I was, after going through many troubles, I don't have time to talk about that. I wrote a book, so if you want the whole story, you buy the book today. So, but let me just give you a summary. When we were abandoned on the road, a certain old man is the one who picked us and gave us an old home. And we stayed there for 10 years, and then my sister got married to a rich man. But that sister of mine who took me to school when I was a teenager, when small children used to call me uncle, how are you uncle? She was murdered by the soldiers of Idi Amin. 8 bullets in one person. So, I wanted to kill them. I knew them. I knew those who prepared tea for the killers, those who prepared the meals for the killers. So I wanted to kill 19 people. But when I was seated in a bus, not in a church like you, I was talking and thinking in my head, whom do I kill first? Whom do I kill next? And then I went back into my background. I looked at my back and I became angry and I was choked. I failed to breathe. I collapsed in the bus. It was when I was struggling to get breath that I heard the voice of a man who spoke to me 3 times and said, if you cross this bridge without forgiving your father, you are going to die. 3 times, and we were going down a bridge. And indeed, I failed to breathe and I was dying. So out of struggle for breath coming from the ground, it is when I picked this handle in the bus. When the bus is full, you know you handle that one. And then I spoke. I said, from today, I am not going to kill my father. I have decided to forgive him. And those who were seated near me, they jumped because a madman had entered the bus. But I did not stop. I kept talking. I said, I'm not going to kill so-and-so. Who did this? So-and-so. Who did this? Uncontrollably. I say today, I made a choice to forgive them. Let God revenge. And I collapsed again in the bus. And that was the beginning of my conversion. I have been moving in Christ for 30 years now. And God put a smile on my face. Today they call me Smiling Vicar all over the world, wherever I go. But they have no clue where I got that smile. And then I began a revolution in the whole family. I led my mother to Jesus Christ. I led 5 of my sisters to Jesus Christ. In fact, one of my sisters who was gang raped and made pregnant, she's now a vicar as well. And running a church of more than 10,000 people because she has a big parish with four churches. So she's a very renowned woman. And my sisters, God saved them. They got married to wonderful men. They are doing very well. And my father came back after 22 years. He reconciled with my mother. He remarried her. He restored his family. He brought his wives and his children and all grandchildren. We reconciled together. God is an amazing God. I was telling people on Thursday that my mother became pregnant after 22 years and gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. There's nothing impossible with God. So when I say, praise the Lord, oh my soul, don't think I'm crazy. No. It is coming from deep, 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 deep there. So together once again, praise the Lord, oh my soul. With a smile, please. My soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship his holy name. So I go everywhere telling people about Jesus. I normally tell people that I'm going bananas for Jesus. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about a very interesting topic of speaking to your impossibility. Some of you are here today, you have an impossibility in your life. Like I had an impossibility. Like Connie had an impossibility. Each one of you is having an impossibility somewhere. Either in your family, or in your church, or in your job. Somewhere where you have difficulty. Today, I want to share with you about speaking to your impossibility. Because there's a lot of power in a spoken word. I was talking to Brenda just a few minutes ago, how positivism is a very, very, very big thing that can heal this nation. This nation is ranked as one of the depressed nations, where depression is rising so fast. Many people are depressed. Why? It's because of negativity. Everywhere you go, either you are in a bus, last week I was in a bus going down, I was talking to a woman, she was very rich, but she was complaining. Her service complaining, water complaining. I said, you have no clue what you are talking about. Just come to Uganda, you will shut up. You will see our health system, you will cry to come back that day. You will see people who are hungry, you will see. And by the way, I think I led her to Christ because I prayed for her in the bus and I gave her a copy of my book. And then I reached Birmingham, I joined another bus. I met, this time it was a Muslim, living in this country. He was also complaining about complaining. And actually she was, I said, you have no clue what you are talking about. Complaining about education, complaining about church. You ask Brenda and her team, they came to Uganda, they will tell you where they slept, they will tell you where they sat. You people of Great Britain, you need to know you are great. You have great systems. Although Scotland is saying that you have oppressed them, but they are far better than Uganda. After all, Idi Amin said, he's the last king of Scotland. Anyway, today I want to talk about speaking to your impossibility. Can it now this woman you have seen is a brave woman. She has really put up with me coming for many, many years without a father. I never knew I would make a good husband. But you know, one time I found her reading a book. The book was entitled Taming Your Tiger. I said, goodness me, I've been with this woman for 10 years, she calls me a tiger. But anyway, when I read the book, I found I was a real tiger. So I asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I was transformed from being a cultural husband with absolute authority to a Christian husband who is loving and caring. Amen. So 2 days ago, was it 2 days ago? Last Sunday, we celebrated our 23 years anniversary. And I made it because most of my relatives, they married second wife, third wife, fourth wife. My father had 7. My great-grandfather had 36. Probably I would have married other wives, but we want to thank God for her. She has been loving and supportive. Amen. Hallelujah. And working with her is an amazing work. We work together as a team. Now, Ezekiel chapter 37 is about dry bones. And please, if you are a newspaper person, don't write that I called British people dry bones. No, I'm just quoting the Bible. But he begins very well by saying that the hand of God was upon me. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God so much for the hand of God upon this nation. This nation, the hand of God has been upon this land. You need to praise God for that. I want to promise you the hand of God is still upon you. The hand of God is the grace and favor of God. This nation is favored. Everybody wants to come here. That's why the Muslims want to make this nation an Islamic state, because of its central position. That's why they are trying to build the largest mosque in the world in London. That's why they have made Oxford the International Islamic Center. Because they know that this small island has a great significance. The hand of God is the power of God. This nation is great. It is very powerful in every area. And we want to pray that the hand of God becomes upon you as well. The hand of God is the security of God. Once the hand of God is upon you, you experience the real security from the Lord. This nation has not had war for hundreds of years. You have been fighting outside. You last had a civil war many, many years back with a few bombs from Hitler, but they were, I call them a few, because your Spitfire planes, they were able to crush them. The hand of God is also the wisdom of God. This nation is an intellectual center. People are very clever. God has given the British people incredible wisdom. Many professors. That's very, very powerful. The hand of God is also the love of God. I believe that the love of God has been shown to most of you. And we thank God that your ancestors, the Christian missionaries, they brought the love of God to us. We are your grandchildren. And I am here on a payback mission. Paying back for what great work you have done. The hand of God actually was upon Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Every person in the Bible who did great work, the hand of God was upon them. So let me ask you a question this night. Is the hand of God upon you? Because the hand of God is a two-edged sword. On the right side, it brings blessings. But if you rebel against God, the hand of God went to be falls upon you. It crushes you to pieces. You know that? That God is a God of righteousness, but at the same time, a God of justice. So Ezekiel was under the right hand of God. So in everything we do, we need the hand of God. Will you from today start praying for the hand of God upon your children, the hand of God upon your wives, upon your husbands, the hand of God upon the family, the hand of God upon this nation, which has sent 500 terrorists in northern Iraq? I am worried when they come back, what are they going to do for this nation? So pray for the hand of God to be upon this land. Amen. And the Bible says, he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord lifted this man called Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Ezekiel was filled with the spirit of God. Filled with the spirit of God. The church today is scared about the Holy Spirit. Uncomfortable with happy clappy. Uncomfortable with shaking people, either because the Quakers quaked so much. But let me tell you, you can't do without the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes with spiritual gifts. It comes in a crazy way. It makes you uncomfortable. So comfortability all the British people, when the Holy Spirit comes, my goodness, you start rolling on the floor uncontrollably. He was the residential address of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you become the royal mail. You become a residential address. If they are looking for the Holy Spirit, they come to your home. He was the airport of the Holy Spirit. A person filled with the Holy Spirit is an airport where when the Holy Spirit is landing, he gets a safe landing. Are you the airport of the Holy Spirit? His ministry, Ezekiel, was propelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the engine of his ministry. Driven by the Holy Spirit, sleeping in the Holy Spirit, doing work in the Holy Spirit. That is why he was very successful. And your ancestors did that. Your ancestors had Christian values. Your ancestors' education was the power of God. Your ancestors, everything was based on Christian values. Your ancestors made a good Christian constitution. Your ancestors, the Ten Commandments were everywhere. Your ancestors, I am using your ancestors, avoiding your generation. You understand what I'm talking about? Because sometimes when you come into this country, you look for what propels this nation. It's not the Holy Spirit at all. It is humanism. It is Darwin. It is let me be politically correct. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everything he was doing, the power behind it was God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful foundation. I was reading a question, but I tried to look for the verse. I failed to get it, but Adrian will help me to get it tonight. The question was saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Acts 19, thank you. And that question, a certain old woman asked me that question. I was a very staunch Anglican, baptized, confirmed. I was born again, but I had never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought that being filled with the Holy Spirit was for Pentecostals, not us. You know, for us, we say, I believe in Holy Scriptures instead of I believe in the Holy Spirit. So, this woman asked, read me this verse. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And then later on down it says, we have never even heard of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? They were believers. So let me ask you a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? You answer me. Don't look at me. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Have you been really filled with the Holy Spirit? Or you are just scared? If you are, you need to be filled today. Because you will never be a successful Christian unless you believe in the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you when I was born again for 7 years, praying dry prayers, preaching dry sermons, until one day when the Spirit of the Lord landed upon me. I have never ever been the same again. I have been thrown out in one diocese, thrown out. We went to Kampala. We are in Kampala now, in exile. But he made a very big difference. He restored my soul. He restored my joy. I am now reading the Bible, enjoying it, reading 10 chapters a day. I enjoy the Bible more than newspapers, more than news on BBC and Al Jazeera. Why? Because the Holy Spirit creates hunger. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for the Bible? Are you hungry for meeting other Christians? Are you hungry? Do you feel fear when you are sharing the gospel? Receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives boldness. Then he sent Ezekiel to the valley. The Bible says he went past into the valley of dry bones. Can you imagine? You go in a valley and you find very, very dry bones. There were many, many dry bones in the open valley. And the Bible says they were very, very, very dry. And he was horrified by their numbers, as they were exceedingly many, and also horrified by their dryness. And the Bible says Israel was like dry bones, scattered all over the globe, lost hope, cut off from the Holy Land. Israel had lost its security, had lost its self-worth, had lost its hope. There was no hope for restoration or resurrection of the nation. It was like a cemetery. It was a hopeless end. That is why in Psalms 137, some of you who are above 50, you remember that thing. Can we sing it together, those of us who are above 50? By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, there we were. used to sing those things and dance those dances in when I was still young. But that was an expression of how dry they were. And I want to tell all of you who are here today, we also have many, many dry bones in this land. When you look around, dry bones. Education, dry bones. Parliament, dry bones. Cabinet, dry bones. Our streets, dry bones. And actually, what hurts me most, many churches, dry bones. And they are scattered all over this country. Every corner. I went to Scotland, dry bones. I went up to Bucky, dry bones. I went down to London in a place called Peckham. My goodness, my goodness. They fought in a pub. They came running after a boy. The boy entered the church. He found the service was going on. Ran to the altar. The boys followed him. And they stabbed him on the altar in front of all the Christians. And the vicar didn't help this boy because it is a police job. How can you allow these boys run into the church running after a boy and you don't help? If I was there, I would have boxed this boy. I go to prison. I would have saved this boy from being stabbed on the altar. You want to be politically correct, but sometimes you need to go with your reasoning and save people. So Israel was dry because of rebellion. They rebelled against the Lord. They rebelled against his commands. They betrayed his covenant. And they remained stubborn even when the prophets warned them. They rejected God and removed him from the equation. So, the Bible says, and God handed them over to the Babylonians who tortured them for hundreds of years. They lost their land. They lost their nation. Today, there's a big spirit of rebellion in this country. Rebelling against God, rebelling against his authority, rebelling against his word. This nation is a rebellious nation. And you know, you can make choices, but you can't choose consequences. You are planting a seed now. It's got, harvest time is coming. The spirit of sexual immorality is a huge problem that is governing this nation. King Henry VIII brought a curse in this United Kingdom. And he was supported by the church, unfortunately. And it brought divorce. Divorce has devastated many, 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 many families. Many, many children. Where is the root? You go back to this. It's one act of one leader has affected the whole world. Not only here, your people, when they ran to America, they did the same. And tolerance of all sex deviations, you can't imagine what type of crazy sex is in this country. The sin of sexual immorality is given a glove. But you know it is an abomination to God. Abortion came into this country because people were being given freedom to have sex, but a choice not to have children. And I was reading newspapers, I found that actually in 1960 up to today, America alone, 52 million children have been killed through abortion. That is a whole, almost half African continent population. Killed. Why? Not because their mothers are sick, but because these girls or these women don't want, they want to enjoy sex, but they don't want pregnancies. Homosexuality is a big problem. Now, I was so embarrassed to hear that this nation has signed that they should even redefine marriage. I was reading through your laws now. So the word father is going, the word mother is going, the word husband is going, the word wife is going, the word her is going, the word him is going. Don't think that is very small. It's going to cost this nation a lot. It's going to cost the family, which is the backbone of the nation, a lot. Yes, yes, you have said that they should adopt children. Fine. But these children will lose identity. If the children are adopted by two men, whom will they call mommy? The word mommy is going to disappear from your language. If they are adopted by two lesbians, whom will they call daddy? Father. The concept of father is going to go. Don't call these things very small. Just somebody said, a drop of ink will make millions think. Just a drop of ink in a constitution, a bill, signing it, yours, Cameroon, will bring so many millions to have problems. As I talk to you now, we have a letter from Cameroon saying that if the president of Uganda does not tolerate same-sex marriages, we are not going to have money from this nation. And we had one from Obama already. They have cut $800 million. Is it 800 or 88 million? All that money that was going to charities, faith-based, they have cut it off. Norway has cut off. Sweden has cut off. I was in Finland meeting MPs, meeting bishops. They want to cut off also aid from Uganda because the Uganda signed an anti-gay bill. We are having a big problem. The spirit of mammon, the spirit of money, material wealth is a huge, huge problem governing this nation. Materialism, consumerism, individualism, greed, selfishness, and there are some people who are suffering from shopaholics. They shop. They take their self-esteem from shopping. They heap their houses with things and things. But you see, those things won't satisfy them. And by the way, greed is you are treating symptoms. The way people are driven by money is a symptom that there is an unmet need, which they lost when they were children. If you track down homosexuals, about 5% are homosexuals by orientation. They are born with that orientation. But 95%, it is by choice, by attraction. And why? It's because their parents divorced. They found they had very, very difficult upbringing in their marriages. If your father was a terrorist fighting your mother, you hate men. If your mother was so bad, you hate women. So sometimes don't point fingers. The problem comes from heterosexual marriages that have been a disaster, that have not been an example. So you should not point fingers. That's why I'm trying to fight for the rights of gay people, not to kill them or to give them life imprisonment. Sometimes one person asks me, are you gay? I'm not. But I don't support that gay people should be killed. I don't support that gay people should be put in prison for life. We should love them. We should care for them. We should pray for them. We should counsel them. In fact, one of the laws in Uganda, which I'm glad the bill was thrown out, but one of the laws was that if you know a gay person and you withhold information, you are put in jail for 7 years. Now, if I am a pastor, what is the role of the church? And I saw many church leaders also celebrating that bill. If you are a pastor, that is your role. A church is not a killing institution. But anyway, don't write in newspapers. I don't want to be arrested at the airport. Slave trade was a greed-driven thing. Colonialism was greed. Imperialism was greed. And you know it robbed Africa of all the human resource, our fathers and sons, and all the money. And you understand that the World Wars 1 and 2 robbed Europe of its men and its wealth as a punishment for robbing Africa of its men and its wealth. The cost of Europe, it cost Europe sons and fathers. Some of these decisions you are making, and slave trade was begun by Muslims. The Christians, because of greed, Christian nations, they joined the Muslims in that evil trade. But I thank God for a Christian man called William Wilberforce, who said, no, enough is enough for 30 years. And later on, after 30 years, the bill was passed. Slave trade was abolished. That's why I'm here. In fact, I went to Harrow, where he was. I went there for prayer to thank God for him. I went to Bath, to a church where he was married. I preached there about him. It is very, very important to know that there are so many people that make the nation dry. The spirit of humanism now, where you are exalting a human being other than God. The demon of success, and you end up even not succeeding. Trusting in man's capability, intellectualism, degree after degree, achievement, science, that rubbishes God, that rubbishes creation, that rubbishes miracles. And I am very, very disturbed to hear that even your Secretary for Education has issued a law that every school must teach the agreed position with scientific evidence. Any other view is not going to be allowed in your schools. So that means for us who believe in creation, that view is not going to be taught in schools anywhere. If you teach it, your school will be closed and they will refuse to give you money. What a terrible thing. Education is the backbone of our nation. Without it, you are finished. That is where a nation is raised. That is where our leaders are born, are grown, are trained. You can't allow that woman to continue doing that. In fact, pray for her to lose that job. Or write many letters to her. They can't kill your schools. Your schools were begun by the church. Don't you know that? And then they were taken away. Don't you know that? And now they are secular. Don't you know that? You can't allow your children to be taught what I call rubbish sometimes. Did you come from monkeys? You answer me. Did you come from monkeys? Is anyone of you, your ancestor, is a monkey? No! Our children must be told that there is a God that needs to be followed. You guys stood for God's principles of marriage and family. We thank God for what they taught us. They so stood for marriage between male and female. They stood for monogamous marriage. Permanent marriage, no divorce. That's what the missionaries taught us. They taught us that the joy of childbearing, that when you produce children and bring them, it brings joy. But I am surprised that many women now in this country don't want children anymore. They want to get married. No children. Children are dirty. Children are expensive. Children don't allow you to go for your leisure. If you do not have children in the next 50 years, the white race will be out. The Muslims met in Nigeria in 1989. They said they should conquer Europe by the womb. Now you are refusing to have children. They are coming here. They are producing as many children as possible. You are a democracy. In the next few years, they are going to outnumber you and vote for Muslims. And we throw you out. You will be a minority. You will be oppressed. It will be the other way around. Why? Because your white race, they are tired of children. Homosexuality, they told us that was bad. In fact, in 1886, the king of Uganda was gay. Homosexuality is even in Africa. When the missionaries came, they said, no, homosexuality is a sin. And the younger boys who became converted, they refused to have sex with their king. And you know what happened? He bound them, 36 of them. And they were burnt alive. You have heard of Uganda matters, haven't you? They were killed because of homosexuality. Now, you are now coming back this time, including some of your bishops, telling us that homosexuality is okay. Telling us that divorce and separation is okay. Telling us that abortion is okay. What do we accept? Answer me. What do we accept? Do we accept the old one or the new one? Hey, you told us that the Bible is the word of God. Infallible word of God. Now, your bishops, some of your archbishops, they are telling us that the Bible is just contains the word of God. It's not the word of God. It only contains. What do we take? The old one or the new one? We repentance, which you told us, you are now rubbish it out. Forgiveness, which you told us, you are now holiness and righteousness, sin and judgment, now is not being preached in your pulpits. So what do we take, the old one or the new one? You taught us about hell and heaven, about love and grace. Now here, if we talk about hell, they say you are offensive. If you talk about sin, they say you are. What do we take? The old one or the new one? And so many things. Political correctness, religious pluralism. Now you came, you told us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way. Now they are coming and telling us that all roads lead to where? Leads to Rome. Idolatry of all kinds, worshipping people, worshipping sports. Goodness me, one of your football players, the salary he eats can pay all the salaries of Ugandans. Football has become an idol, and there are so many generational curses, demonic covenants, soul ties, and belief, which is a huge problem here. I think this nation is dry. And the bones are becoming drier and drier. And we need the Spirit of God to come again. Let the fire fall again in the name of Jesus. They came telling us that Jesus is the only and only. And I was convinced beyond reasonable doubt that Jesus is unique. His biography was written before he was born. He was prophesied. He did great things to fulfill this biography. He was God incarnate. Read this book. His virgin birth. He spoke with authority and certainty. His words were unique. And his claims were unique. Because he spoke to the past. He spoke to the present. And he spoke to the future. Jesus' description of the human heart condition is unique. What's wrong with the world? Jesus said it is sin. When we lose the concept of sin, we lose it all. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart according to Jesus. Other people who are using all other things, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And Jesus' uniqueness in dealing with our moral problem, Jesus offers forgiveness. That is why he came and died on the cross for us. Hallelujah. He is unique. Jesus is the answer to human questions. Questions of origin, he answers them. He was the one who created the creative word of God. Issues of meaning, the meaning in life, the meaning of morality, the meaning of the future, where you die, where you go, Jesus answers all those questions. Tell me whether Muhammad answers them, or Buddha, or wherever. The truth of Jesus, the Bible and the historical books, they say that Jesus was pure. He lived a life without sin. Even historians confirm that. Muhammad was a thief. Moral person, a killer. The message of Jesus in time, his message was relevant to the past, relevant to the present, relevant to the future. It is still relevant. His engagement in suffering, Jesus suffered and he overcame. His resurrection, he is the only one who rose again from the dead. His grave is empty. That is why missionaries told us he is the only way, the truth and the life. So where have you got this philosophy that other ways all lead to Rome? When that word was spoken many years back, all roads lead to Rome, is it correct? No. All roads don't lead to Rome. Some roads lead to Kampala. And lack of compassion. This nation was a compassionate nation. Today, compassion is going down. Giving is going down. And many men and women are becoming misers. They are becoming selfish. Many churches have become empty and they have been closed and sold. Many theological colleges have become bankrupt. They have been sold. Why? Because your hand now is too short. Your pocket is too long. And people spend money elsewhere, not in God's work. So we have a very big problem. And we need to pray that God will help this nation. Amen. Amen. Me and my wife, we are doing a compassionate work. We started with 125 children. Now we have 750. We give them breakfast, we give them lunch, we give them supper, we give them education. And they are very, very happy indeed. We got them from mothers who were crying, whose children had died of HIV. We have restored the hope to them. We picked children who were abandoned. We picked children on the streets. We picked children who were abandoned by their parents in the markets. And we picked children who were mothers at 12 because the whole family was dead. And we gave them education. Aren't these children nice? We are giving them hope. Adrian came there. They brought hope. Brenda came there and others came here. We have some people who are here who came to Uganda and helped these children. Can you stand up where you are if you were on Uganda team? No problem. You just stand up where you are. These guys, give them a very big clap. They did a good job. Hallelujah. Will you sit down? Now you can see these children you have seen behind and the children you are seeing now. You see these children now, they are now these ones. Enjoying themselves. Giving them hope. They are no longer dry bones now. God has put flesh on them. We give them goods to improve their income. We give them the Bible. We have 114 Muslim children. We give them the Bible. They read the Bible. They say the name of Jesus. They are excited about Jesus. They get saved. They know how to pray. You can't fool them. And we want to keep them until when they are 18. We are building a dormitory. Adrian and her team, they dug those holes there. This is our dream, to build that dormitory to accommodate all the 750 children. Now we have teenagers. We are now planning to buy a secondary school because we've been having these children from 3 years. Now they are 12 and 13. We have been putting them in public schools. Public schools are very, very unruly. Last year alone, there were 72 schools that were burnt down in the nation because of student riots. Two of our children have been made pregnant, defiled. So we are losing them when they are 13, when they need us. Our dream is to keep them until when they join university. So we are praying. We have got a school nearby. It costs £200,000. It is on a 10-acre land. We are going to buy it. This is a school. I took some visitors there to preach to those students. So the owners of this school are selling it because they have run bankrupt. They have given me November 30th to pay. I don't even have £50, but I'm believing God for a miracle. Once we get this school, all the high school will be there. And also the land, 10 acres, we can use it for growing food for all the children. We hope that in future we shall put a university as well, impacting the world. Indira Gandhi, the president of India, before he was shot, he was asked, what can develop India? He said, what can develop India? There are only three things. Number one, education. Number two, education. Number three, education. We are raising a generation in Uganda, a generation of men and women of integrity. And we believe God is going to do great work. We raise this nation also, which was an architect of helping people out of oppression. They stopped slave trade. They stopped so many things. This nation has now gone down. Crime in this country is in alarming levels. I was speaking in July in London. There was a girls' summit. We were talking about domestic violence. And I found out that in London, when the Prime Minister was speaking, he said that 160,000 girls were mutilated here in this nation. People are coming from all over the world coming to be cut here. They are now importing, these Muslims are importing female genital mutilators to come and mutilate them here. And they are taking your children here for early marriages in Pakistan. So there is a python that is hovering around your nation. In fact, this nation is engulfed by a python spirit. The python comes and rolls around you and breaks your bones and squeezes you and chokes you and then it swallows you at the end. Isn't this nation now entangled? Isn't it being squeezed from east to west, north, south? If you are a warrior, a prayer warrior, destroy the head. My wife and I, we are fighting against female genital mutilation, getting these small girls and cutting what God created in them, dehumanizing them. For 1,000 years, we have stood and said, no! And our no is being heard. They passed a law against FGM in the parliament. In February, they passed another law that if you are a parent and you are consenting, you are also put in jail. Say amen. We are trying to fight for the rights of these children. It is very painful. They breed a lot and many of them die. Others get depression permanently. They spend about 3 weeks nursing the wounds. Some die, others live. What hurt me most was that pastors pray for them to have endurance when they are going to be cut. When they die, they bury them. They don't stand and say, this is evil. It's time for the church to rise and say, no, this cannot happen in this country. This cannot happen in Great Britain. And when somebody dies is when they call a doctor. These are the tools they are using, even here in London, here and Bradford, to cut these girls. Do you see? And how do you see how dangerous? Can you imagine your daughter? Imagine my daughter. And here, not only in Uganda, here, your prime minister said so when we were presenting papers. And there are some men who are defiling children. In Uganda, we are fighting, defiling small children. One thing which was making me angry with the church is somebody who defiles children is imprisoned for 7 years. Somebody who is gay, consenting, is given life in prison. Is that fair? We have said no. And in Uganda, we have used maids. This man was a girl. He pretended to be a maid. He defied so many children. Until when he was caught, when he was urinating, they found he was a man. And then when they asked the children, horror. We are also fighting people who are getting married to younger children. This girl is 19. This is her husband, 85. This is their honeymoon. Cross-cultural marriages, because the man is rich, a widow, because the girl's father needs money. We are saying, no, we can't allow that. My wife is fighting against domestic violence. Violence against women, raping them in front of their children. Raping children in front, a mother in front of their children. Killing women. In Uganda, this boy, his mother is dead. He was killed. She thought he was alive. She's saying, wake up. And many, many women, they are weeping for their children who are dying. Now, let me tell all of you who are here that domestic violence is a big problem in this country. In this country, abuse of women is increasingly a big problem in this land. So I want to challenge all of you who are here. We are also fighting against men who make their women slaves. And one man said, if wealth was the inevitable result of hard work and enterprise, every woman in Africa would be a millionaire. We are saying enough is enough. And we are getting wrath from men because the men have been swallowed by this python. After it has entangled you, then it swallows you. We have a radio program speaking to 13 million people. Where my wife and a group of women, they are speaking, they are saying no, they are saying no, they are saying no. And we hope that marriages will be happy. I am happily married on my 50th birthday. My wife gave me that gift, a good husband. Is a blessing from the Lord. Don't you think I'm a happy man? Don't you think that God loves every marriage to be happy? So wake up as church and start praying. And so I want to challenge all of you who are here. Balance righteousness and justice. God is a God of justice, but also is a God of righteousness. Righteousness and justice is like a bird flying with two wings. God is God. Jesus is both a lion and a lamb. So many people here, they are taking Jesus as a lamb. They want to be soft. They want to be tolerant. But Jesus also is the lion of Judah. You don't joke with a lion. You must balance the truth with love and grace. Amen. And that is one of the things I am really passionate about. I don't know what is happening to you now. The first monkey said, I'm not hearing what you are saying. Another one said, yes, I don't want to see all this evil and all these problems. And the other one said, I can hear and see, but I will not talk. Which monkey best represents you? As far as justice is concerned and sin and all this wickedness, which monkey best represents your family? Which monkey best represents your church? Which monkey best represents your parliament? Which monkey best represents your cabinet and your House of Lords? And one of the reasons why Scotland is running away is that you have oppressed them. And they have a point. Has Britain, England, ever said sorry to Scotland? Or you say sorry in your heart by making some of them prime ministers Let me tell all of you who are here, God is a God of righteousness and justice. So I want to conclude with good news. Ezekiel was asked, can these dry bones live? Do you think England and Scotland and Ireland will ever experience revival again? Yes! Can revival happen in this nation? Yes! Can marriages be healed? Yes! Can sick people be healed and the dead people be raised? Yes! One of the men who is 100 years last month, he died, and on his funeral, when the pastors had finished praying, he rose again. He's called Shem. He started knocking in the coffin and said, my wife, I am alive! Open! And people ran but the others opened, they found he was alive. And he told stories, I don't have time, how he met Jesus, how he was shown his chair, and how Jesus told him, come back, go back, I have a ministry for you. He's healing the sick, he's driving out demons, he was renewed. I have seen him myself, he's one of my mentors. Is forgiveness, reconciliation, love, unity possible? Yes! When my cousin Obama was was campaigning, his theme was, yes, we can. I believe that in the name of Jesus, this nation can rise and shine again. Say amen. Amen. This nation is represented by a lion. The lion must roar. The lion has been silent for a long time. Wake up! Those of you who are praying, you must pray that the lion will be loosed from chains, that this nation will roar again. When, during after John Wesley and his friends preached the gospel, this nation roared, and the whole world heard the voice of God. And now in Uganda we have 12 million Anglicans. Can you imagine? Uganda now is 85% Christian. Irrespective of the 14% which was brought by Idi Amin, he killed almost 2 million Christians in 10 years, but still he could not kill the church. Nigeria, the church is growing, 9 million Christians, Anglicans only. We are winning! You reject Christ, we shall take him. And I am going to come here over and over and over and over, paying back to all those missionaries who died in Uganda. Do you know that one of the missionaries called Margaret Walker is now, I think, 85 or something? She is the one who picked me when I got born again. She paid my school fees. She brought me here, this country. I now have 5 degrees. I have a PhD. I have been a professor at the university. I have been a pastor of a church of 7,500 people. I want to tell you that, yes, you can. God can raise this nation again. Amen? Amen. Ezekiel answered, oh Lord, you know better. Lord, you know. We need to put God in our equation for this country. We need to trust God for everything in this nation. Without God, we can do nothing. Without the Son of God, we have no life. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without faith, no one can please God. Without believing in Christ, there is no eternal life. Without being born again, there is no eternal life. And without sanctification, no one will see God. Without love of God, we are like empty tins. Without. So when you push God out, you are in trouble, because blessed is a nation whose God is God. And he said, prophesy. So I want to challenge all of you who are here. Speak. Speak out. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, I will bring breath on you. Dry bones, I will put flesh on you. Dry bones, I will cover you. Dry bones. You are speaking in a cemetery. Can you imagine Adrian going outside this cemetery and starts speaking to the dry bones there? May this be true in this land again. May the fire of Elijah fall again on this nation. Hallelujah. May the abundance of rain fall in this nation again. Although Elijah saw just a hand full, a cloud like as small as a hand, he told his servant, "Run, for I hear the abundance of rain." Let me tell all of you who are here, there is abundance of rain coming. If you don't want to bring revival here, Africans, Asians are going to bring revival. People from South Korea, people from Malaysia, people from Brazil and Argentina, they are going to bring revival here. You can't avoid Jesus. You can't run away from him. You will go on radio, you find him there. You will go in schools, you find him there. Everywhere you go, you will find him. You can't avoid Jesus. You can't. He can't allow you to go to hell. He will pursue you, even if you go under the fish, in the belly. Like Jonah, you will cry, "Oh Lord, have mercy." He is not going to let you go. Say amen. And he is not going to let your children. Hallelujah. I want you to obey, to prophesy. Speaking out, both in secret and in public. Don't worry whether people hear or not. Gossip the gospel. Samuel said, he told this man called Saul, who rebelled against the Lord. He said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams." And this is what he said that threatened me and worried me. "For rebellion is as a sin of what? Divination and arrogance, like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you as king." I want you to, from today, to obey, to speak to your children, speak to your grandchildren, speak to your husbands. If they are not there, speak to their photographs and say, "My son, you are not going to hell. I cover you with the blood of Jesus." Line up all the photographs of your relatives and pray over them. Claim them. You can't go to heaven alone, can you? You can't go to heaven and leave your children and grandchildren to go to hell. Will you afford it? Speak to your impossibility. Speak to your sickness. Jesus said, "All authority on earth and in heaven has been given to me. I give it to you." And hear what he said. "Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You have the authority to bind, authority to loose. It is on your lips. Speak sickness. One of the things that really annoy me here is the level of unbelief. There is a lot of unbelief here. Wake up and have a little faith like a mustard seed. One of my sons, he was 4 years old. He came to me, I was sick. He said, "Daddy, I have come to pray for you." And he laid hands on me, said, "Jesus, Jesus, heal my daddy. In the name of Jesus, fire, 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 fire." And then he said, "Amen." He looked at me, smiled, he said, "Daddy, you are healed. It is finished." And off he went. But I remained sick. In my heart I said, "How can a 4-year-old boy pray for me? I am a senior pastor." 4-year-old, this one. Anyway, then my wife, the people came to see me. This boy said, "Daddy is healed. Let me go and get him." He went to my bedroom and said, "Dad, I prayed for you. You are still sick. Get out of bed. You are healed." But you see, so he was a very small boy. But when he was going out, I said, "What if God had sent a little angel to heal me? Am I not killing my son's faith?" So I said, "Come back." He came back. "Hold my hand." He held my hand. I believed in the faith of that little boy. When I got out of bed with pain and put my foot on the carpet, I got healed instantly. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are, you have power in your mouth. The Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be an evangelist in season and out of season. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, there was rattling and sudden noise. Say amen. The noise of rattling of revival is coming over this nation. Hallelujah. The noise of healing and repentance and praise and worship, the noise of testimonies of your breakthroughs is on your door. Just you wait. God said, he told this lady called Esther, and Mordecai said, okay, you help us. You don't know why you have come at such a time, but if you don't help us, help shall come from somewhere else. God does not beseech you. If you don't, he can use stones. If you don't, he can use a disaster. If you don't, he can bring a 9/11. If you don't, he can use any method to bring people to their knees. But blessed is he whose God is God. The noise of rattling of renewal and forgiveness. Let me tell you, this nation is going to be turned upside down. Amen. Bone came to bones and they all came together. I am praying for unity and restoration. I am praying for family to family. Can you imagine people coming together? I was looking at a TV program of people who have been lost for 50 years. They are coming together. They find each other. What a joy you are going to have when your husband is born again. What a joy my mother had when my father came back after 22 years. What a joy when they married each other again. What a joy when they started the honeymoon after 22 years. What a joy when she was pregnant and holding two baby children, a boy and a girl. What a joy. What a joy my mother died with after reconciling with her husband. What a joy my father died with after reconciling all his family. What a joy. He can bring it to you today. Sinews and flesh came together, skin covered them. Pray, call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. And whosoever, whether he's a Muslim, whether he's a pagan, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall do what? Shall be saved. That is your promise. But there was no life. The dead bodies were there. That was a big miracle. Ezekiel would have gone to have a cup of tea. But there was no what? No life. Now there are many churches where people have come to Christ, but there is no life. So I want to conclude with that one. You should not end there. When people come to church, don't end there. Because there are so many people who are religious but lost, who are going to die and go to hell in church pews. So, God told Ezekiel, now prophesy to the four winds for the breath of God to come upon them. The church needs the Holy Spirit, a life-giving spirit to come into the church. The church of England in particular has divorced the Holy Spirit. You need to bring him back. I was telling one of the bishops, he is now retired, he was a bishop in Liverpool. I said, if you don't believe in Jesus, virgin birth, in Jesus, miracles, in Jesus' death and resurrection, why are you getting a salary from the church? If your bishop doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't believe in what, why do you pay him a salary? If you are a vicar like Adrian would come here and say, there's no God, why do you pay him? Lock the church. Let him go and work for the government because the government believes in Darwin and evolution. You can't keep these people here. Baptized pagans
baptize pagans who don't believe in God at all. They don't believe in Jesus at all. They don't believe in resurrection at all. Enough is enough. We need the Spirit of God. Without Him, there is no breath. Without Him, you can't see. Without Him, you can't hear. Without Him, without Him, without Him, without Him, you are a dead body. But you heal when He comes upon you. Everything that is dead comes to life. So without Him, the Bible says, without Him you can do nothing. So abide in me and in you as the branches, and without me you can do nothing. So speak to the four winds. I want you to pray that God will raise intercessors, will raise an army from the east of this country, from the west of this country, from the north and the south of this country, and cry to the Lord. We are praying for waiting men and waiting women to come up from every corner of this country to speak life over yourself, over your family, over your children, over your finances. Speak life in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says it entered them and they became alive again. And they did not end there, they stood on their feet. They did not only stand on their feet. The Bible says they became an exceedingly mighty army. Give a big hand clap to the Lord. And that is God's dream for you. God is going to raise a great army in this nation. Great evangelists, intercessors, missionaries. The church will rise again. The lion will roar again. Isaiah says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, says the Lord. Let this nation arise again. Recently in America, a certain lady called Jacobs, I was there in a conference organized by Randy Clark, Global Awakening. She stood and gave a prophecy of a vision she had seen. She saw thousands and thousands of elephants coming from Africa, crossing the Atlantic Ocean. Thousands coming from Africa, crossing the Mediterranean. Thousands of elephants crossing the Indian Ocean. Thousands and thousands. And she said the stampede of these elephants was so loud that the whole world would hear that noise. And everything that came in front of them, they trampled over them. She said that that force was so powerful. I collapsed. I remember I fell down in that conference. I heard God saying He's raising an army of Christians from Africa. I felt that it is Africa's time. A stampede is coming, crossing the Mediterranean, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ back to Europe. Hallelujah. Another stampede is marching, crossing the Atlantic to America. Hallelujah. Another stampede is marching to Asia, crossing the Indian Ocean. Unstoppable. God is raising a move that is going to be unstoppable. Will you be part of that move? I want to ask you tonight, before I pray for you, just ask God. Don't say, I am too old. No. The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall mount up not like chickens or ducks or turkeys. Hallelujah. They shall march out like like eagles. Hallelujah. And they shall run and never get tired. They shall walk and never get weary. So if you are above 70, receive an eagle's anointing in the name of Jesus. Caleb said, I am now 85, but I am as strong as when I was 40. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine at 85, he said, I can still fight the battles of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Shem, who is 100 years, he built a new house. He said, I'm building a new house. I know I will live after 120. What a faith. So arise, my brothers and sisters, and shine. Your light has come. Are you dry bone? Today is your day to receive the preach. Do you have dry bones around you, around your family, around your work, around your village, around your church? Today is your day to prophesy those dry bones. Is your hope lost? Are you cut off? Today is your day to receive your hope. I pray that England will have a united, fervent prayer that will break every dividing wall. Amen. We had a conference. We have started a Healing for the Nations convention every year. And I want to invite you now. May 7th, 10th, we shall have another one. This year we had 3,000 people who came from 22 countries. Next year we are expecting 50 countries. God has given me a vision to reach 50 cities in Uganda, 50 cities in Africa, 50 cities in Europe, 50 cities in Asia, 50 cities in America. I am 50. I am sure that God will take me there. And he has given me 50 cities in this nation. I studied here. You made me what I am. You educated me. You fed me. You gave me a wife. You are educating my children. You gave me a house. I can't allow this nation to be an Islamic state. We are raising prayer houses. So many intercessors for UK. We are praying for the battle of England, the battle of this nation. Will you team up with us? I also want to pray for repentance. That sometimes you need to look at life from a different perspective. That men and women will look at life in a different perspective. I pray for a biblical sound teaching. Your pulpits have been hijacked. We need Jesus again in this pulpit again. We need three voices in the church. A prophetic voice to speak the truth of God without favor. But also we need a pastoral voice to bring people together. We also need a reason, a voice of reason, to use our minds to make good judgments. These people should not come and tell you you are a monkey and you agree. Does your head tell you you are a monkey? So we need these voices, a prophetic voice to speak the truth that is in the word of God. But also a pastoral voice to love the sinner, hate the sinner, but love the sinner. Be seeker friendly. But also to use our reasoning when we are making judgments. Do you vote for a government which is fighting against Christ? Don't vote for them. Use your reason. Is this government, this party going to save the church or destroy it? Don't. The Bible says they don't do it, but they support who do it. We need boldness and courage and perseverance. And I want to say, let the lion roar. Again, we need to revisit our church leadership training, because most of the church leaders now are very liberal. So where are they trained? We need to pray for evangelicals, charismatic evangelicals, spirit-filled, to go to be vicars and rectors, and finally we'll be bishops. But also as Christians, we need to live by example. Walk the talk. If you say you're a Christian, be a Christian. Be a Christian. Don't be a chameleon changing. And we need generals. Let God raise another William Wilberforce to fight for justice. Let God raise another Whitefield to preach the gospel. Another Moody. Another John Knox. Another John Wesley. Another Calvin. I was asking people this day, I said, now, who is your most popular evangelist in the United Kingdom? America has had Billy Graham recently. Who is yours? You are silent. Do you see the trouble we are in? A nation without a prophet, who will stand and roar and the nations hear? I am trying to fight to be one in Uganda. Let them throw eggs on me. Let them do whatever they can. But I am not going to stop preaching the uncompromising, undiluted word of God. I am ready to die for it. Are you ready to die for what you know is true? And some of you are here, you need deliverance. We need deliverance. Some people are bound by demons, are bound by what? We need to lay hands on them and say, you devil, come out of them in the name of Jesus. I know here you don't believe in the devil and demons, but let me tell you, they are coming your way. And I also pray for a united stand. Let this nation again be united. I am not campaigning against Scotland, but I believe that this nation, United Kingdom, must remain united. Because united we stand. These buffaloes, the lion came to attack them. They were all ganged together. What is the lion doing? It's running. So united you stand. As a church and denominations, united, you defeat the enemy. And many, many people, let me promise you, revival will come. These men, 1,250, and women got saved in June when I was preaching in Rwanda, in a place called Gahini. I had never seen thousands of people come to Jesus, weeping, rolling on the floor, men reconciling with their wives, tribes, Hutu and Tusi coming together. I could not believe. I said, Lord, open the heavens, that Africa should be visited again. Let me tell you, all of you who are here, God is on the door of this nation. Open your heart, receive what God is doing. This is our national symbol. What a beautiful bird. And they chose it because it reflects the glory of God. Let the glory of God not only fall on Uganda, fall on this nation. Do you know that we celebrated 50 years of independence? And for the first time in the history of Uganda, the President of the Republic of Uganda stood and read a speech. The first 30 minutes was a prayer of saying, Lord, I repent on behalf of the past 10 leaders who butchered people, who introduced witchcraft and corruption. And in the middle of his prayer, he almost broke down. People started weeping. And then after praying, he dedicated the nation to God. He said, you church leaders come here. They all came in front. He got hold of the flag, the national flag of Uganda. He said, today, I want to dedicate this nation to God. I am handing this national flag to the church. What a pagan, somebody who is not a Christian, she is not born again, he goes to church regularly, but what a prayer. Uganda for Jesus and England for Jesus. Faith is not hoping God can, is knowing he will. I pray that today God will release faith, because without faith we can't praise God. Amen. And I pray for the lion to roar again. Let this nation roar that the Commonwealth will hear. When I saw the Commonwealth Games here, I said, oh Lord, all nations are coming here for games. We pray for a day when all nations will come to get the anointing here. When nations will come to London to get the power of God. When nations will be coming from Asia, and they are all coming here to look for God. I'm praying for a time when nations will gather here looking for God. And it is coming, because in God we trust. What are we going to do today from here? The choice is yours. Either you can say, I don't want to hear the prophetic word from this man, or I don't want to see what he was, horrible things he was showing us. I don't want to talk from here. I don't want to prophesy to my dry bones. I will go to my home and enjoy a cup of tea. But you can't avoid the consequences. It's time for you now to make a decision. And the decision is here. Here am I, send me. Shout loudly, here am I, send me. Again, here am I, send me. Once more, here am I, send me. Let us pray together. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, I know that white as snow, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we know that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, but the blood of Jesus that can save this nation. Blessed be your name, Lord. You are from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. Israel was dry like dry bones, but you raised a prophet. He prophesied life, and the dry bones became fresh, and this breath came on them, and they lived again, and they became a great army. Father, I pray for this nation. Let the fire of Elijah fall again on this nation. Let the fire of revival fall against this nation. Let the fire of God fall upon women, upon men, upon children. Let the fire of God fall upon the altars of many churches in this nation. Let the fire fall again, O Lord our God. Let the abundance of rain fall again on this nation, O Lord our God. This nation that took the gospel to the nations of the world. This nation that got Africa, which was a dark continent, and raised men and women, and has given us hope. Let this nation, O Lord our God, rise again. Bring revival again, O Lord our God. Let this nation's eyes be opened. There is a spirit of conviction in this country, in every corner. Let the fire fall on the parliament of this country that has been passing demonic laws that are going to kill this nation. Let the family live, O Lord our God. Let these young people who are growing without fathers, O Lord our God, who are raising without hope, O Lord our God, who are on the streets of every city crying, which way? Come, Holy Spirit, visit this land again, Lord. Oh, these women who are weeping and crying, Lord, abandoned by their husbands. All these men who have been thrown out by their wives. Oh Lord Most High, let this nation arise again, oh Lord our God. You wiped away tears from my eyes, oh my Father. You wiped away tears from my sisters and from my mother. After so many years, you healed my wounds of childhood, my wounds of teenagehood. Heal the wounds of this nation, O Lord, my God. Heal them, blessed Father. You wiped away tears from my mother. Wipe away tears from many women in this country who have cried and cried and cried and cried, O Lord, my God. Bring revival in this land. Bring love in this land, O Lord our God. Bring compassion in this land, O Lord our God. Bring confidence in this land. There are so many people who are depressed. They have been crushed. Their self-esteem has been crushed. Their significance has been crushed. Oh Lord our God, some of them have money, but they are miserable. They are crushed, oh Lord. It's this nation again. Let the spirit of revival arise. Raise up intercessors, oh Lord, in this country. We are going to be like spitfire Christians, spitting fire on every enemy in the name of Jesus. Let an intercessory group, a group of spiritual paratroopers arise in this nation. Raise prophets in this country. Pray prophetically. Let them speak to every dry bone on every hill on every valley. Let this nation experience a move that will shake the Islamic world. A move that will shake the nations of the world. Let this nation be an altar that men and women will come from the east and the west and north and south to come and find life here. Bless this country abundantly, exceedingly. I have prayed all this in Jesus' name. Say amen. 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 Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Together. Oh, what a forte. So glory divine. Head of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of his spirit. Washed in his blood. This is my story.
This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I face a vision of the delights, visions of rapture pass through my sight, angels descending, bring for my love, echoes of my sleep, not gentle heart. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Ah. Thank you, Medad, for sharing God's word with us and giving us an awful lot to chew upon, to think over, to pray about. I haven't heard you preach for some years. I think you've got even more passionate over the years that you've there, but that's wonderful. And I've been living with him these last few days, watching him read 10 chapters a day, and he really does. Watching the prayers and so on. But I think we have a books there, so if you want to buy the book, read the story, it's worth a read. You don't need to go home to have a cup of tea, because there is boiled water there. We can have tea here. So I think what we should do is perhaps sing a final song, have some tea. If people want to receive prayer over something, if something has struck a chord, then come and see Medad, Connie, I, others will be available to pray with you. Michael's asking about if we're having an offering and if there's any gift aid envelopes. And my answer is...
Yes, there are.
Yes, there are. At the back of church, there are forms which you can gift aid.
I would like you to raise a team from Uganda.
Yeah.
Yes.